Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Man from Assyrian, Mommy's Mask. In case you didn't guess from the, you know, the giant, the giant Mummy's Mask that we had just flashed before your very, very eyes this evening. Hello, everyone. My name is GM Jeff Ball, or at least that's what I want you to believe these days. We are back, and I gotta say, it has been too long since we've had a chance to play Mummy's Mask. Guys, I really hate what's going on in the world today, but the fact that we're all quarantined and stuff going on, it does give us a chance to do a little bit of extra content. So thank you, welcome back to the show, starting with Ryan Messina is in the house.
Hey, everybody. And that is a very apt term. I am in the house. Yes,
but he's not playing anyone because he's lost his mind. No, the android he once played doesn't remember who he is. So this should be an interesting way of going about something that's going on. But that's okay. Do not fear. No, you're not there yet. Get back out of there. I just realized I have a minion here that he's not supposed to be there. Get out of there. We have... Oh, Frank Hamilton.
Old Man Arif.
Yeah, I was going to say, Frank Hamilton is in the house, Old Man Arif, because, you know, he's kind of the star of the show. We need him.
Hello. Hello there. Yes.
Revising his role, the man with one hand and doesn't know why, we have Matt Witt is in the house tonight.
Hello, everybody.
And, of course, temporarily... I mean, it's kind of a hit. If we got Messina back here, what's he going to do? Is he going to play a new character? But right now, the mindless android, the android who's lost his memory, is currently being carried along by Aiden Willems, is in the house tonight.
Hello. It's very interesting to see you all here.
So, when last we left our heroes, I mean, I'm curious. It's been a while, a bit more than just a while. do you guys even remember what was going on, what you guys were doing?
Vaguely. I know we had bested some scorpions and found some hole. That's about it, really. I think we were just working our way to the bottom, and I think we found something. I don't know. Refresh us, oh master of the game.
Well, if you insist, I believe that after a lot of climb checks, climbing down a 60-foot shaft, if you remember episode 7, we had... We had some near misses. I believe two people almost literally went splat, if you remember correctly. Like, there was some near misses. So, you know, as a DM that just loves all that kind of thing going down, some near death right out of the gate. Very happy about this, but no. What's going on? I'll tell you. At the bottom of this shaft, gentlemen, the scene pulls out and reminds us that we are on the continent of Gurundi in the Osirian desert, where the capital of Sothis, the Sphinx River, heads inland south and splits and becomes the Crook and Asp River. And right at that crook, the city of Wati, known notoriously for the half-dead city, an entire one-third of its populace is walled off, and they happen to be dead. That is why it's called the half-dead city. Zooming back.
Well, it sucks to be them.
Yeah. Well, you're here now, because zooming through those massive gates and those 30-foot walls to a lottery token divined location, you guys have been given the tomb of Arkantempi, a general known 1,200 years ago during Osirian's great age of one of their many, many, many pharaohs. And you now stand in a square chamber, 20 by 20, in front of two massive doors at the bottom of a shaft. Mirrored images of a warrior inside profile, facing inward, are carved on an ornate pair of stone doors in the west wall of the square room. The figure is depicted to be wearing padded armor, a scarab-shaped shield on the arm facing the viewer. Scarab is in like the beetle with the large rounded carapace, and this entire shield is shaped like said bug. A raised Kopesh sword. Imagine a longsword that starts out jutting from the pommel and then halfway along changes its mind and becomes a crescent shape to complete the blade. That is what a Kopesh sword held aloft in the other. A crumpled humanoid body lies directly in front of the doors. A hint of decay hangs in the air, and a dried stain mars the floor under the body. The square shaft of the ceiling looms straight up, back into darkness. Gentlemen, what do you do?
According to Akeem's Atlas on Hazardous Behaviors, and I'll point up, the rope is oftentimes the most dangerous thing adventurers find. Clearly, this individual has found his demise at the end of a rope. And I'll move forward and just kind of give a quick investigation on the body. I'll take a 10 there on my heal check to see, you know, kind of what killed him.
Okay. Let's see. Deceleration trauma. Cement poisoning.
cement poisoning.
I just want to make sure it wasn't like a poison dart that killed him. Yes, clearly the two broken ankles and the crack to the skull.
And
he fell.
Completing the movie that I'm stealing these lines from, he has no shoes. Anyone? No?
Well, you can clearly see it. He. I wonder if it was a holiday that brought it down here. Yes. Who knows?
Vex will move to the doors and begin examining them for traps, and I will
Yes, you can
just for fun.
Really? You don't want to take 22 minutes and add 20 to your... He rolls an 18, gets a 22.
I'll stick with the 22. Thank you very much.
Anti-climatic.
Dude, you have a +4 and you rolled it? Yeah, we're all dead.
It's perception.
Oh my god. We're good at that.
Well, you know what? You don't seem to find a trap. I miss saying that. I love first edition. You know, we're having so much fun second edition, but I got to say, you know, there are some things that just don't transfer over, and that's one of them. You don't seem to find a trap. How about some knowledge history?
Yes, I do not seem to find a trap yet.
How about some knowledge history, guys?
Yeah, I'll drop a
I know nothing.
As soon as I can find it. There we go.
Raw intelligence roll. 5.
I got an 18 on my knowledge history.
Okay, so before you leave the body, yes, I make my jokes, okay? But you can tell that the body was that of a male human or half-elf, and both of his legs are broken, obviously from a fall of great height, and he bled out. And a man apparently crawled all the way to the doors before he expired. And there's that pool of blood stain under him that just kind of fades backwards towards the center of that shaft light coming down to the center.
A little even splatter from the ankles blowing out when he hit.
That is rough.
Now, as far as history is concerned...
That'd be a horrible way to go, though. Think about it. Just drop, snap, snap.
You almost that happened to you. Like, in episode 7, I was making all those climb check rolls. You guys almost went splat. Now you're down here going, oh, look at this guy. Look at this guy. Knowledge history of 18... you don't know for certain, Aerith, but you would hazard a guess that this could be a depiction of the general himself as a younger man. This could be Akintempe, you know, the humbling beginnings of.
Hang on just one second. Mm-hmm. So my 20 linguistics, I will turn into a bluff check. Clearly,
this is Akintempe. You can tell by the way that he's depicted most regally there. The sword there and his hand held so prominently, he's the only one that was depicted such from this era.
He just lies.
Oh, Aerith, you are so wise. I'm very glad you have come with us on this adventure.
Nice.
Very interesting.
The strange pale man is just kind of standing out away from the shaft, but like near a wall, just, you know, just kind of observing you guys. For somebody that you guys brought along to be on guard, he seems rather introspective since the scorpion. A lot of just sort of staring into the center of the room into nothing, like into his own thoughts. Not a lot of like, you know, watching corners, guarding your back. He seems rather out of it.
I noticed none of this. I'm so enraptured by weaving this possibly bullshit story. You don't know.
Okay.
One thing that is clear from Ada's texts, when he talks about many things of the uncertain type, most often these doors were not trapped initially. Because obviously the rope did the damage. So I feel those doors are safe. Go through.
Wait. Give me a second, and I'll bend down, and I'll take 10 to give a good thorough search to...
Okay.
The body.
Now, taking 10 on a skill is allowed in this, but you guys are actually allowed, if you're not threatened, you guys can take 20.
I'll take 20.
Like, if there's,
I'll take 20.
On a search and on a, like, especially for traps and stuff, if you have 2 minutes. That's all you need. 2 minutes undisturbed, no threat that the GM can conceive. You can take 20 and just, you know.
Take 20. It's been so long.
I know.
It's been so long. So I'll take 20. I'll search the body.
Okay. The corpse's gear has suffered decades of rot and rust, and most of the stuff you find on this guy is intact, but really unusable. However, you do manage to come up with a couple of metal pitons, a usable hammer, as well as two vials. And the vials are sealed, not broken, miraculously, because you think of the drop, right? And they have... they're not clay. They're that... I'm just trying to think of what it's not glass. It's like a...
Ceramic?
So yeah. Is this like a skeleton?
No. Like, he's got enough flesh and stuff on him that I was telling Arif directly that, you know, he might be human or half-elf and definitely male. I mean, he's definitely rotted for a while. This has taken, you know, he's, like, been down here for decades, but he's not, like,
he's been,
the 100-year-old.
He's been jerky.
Yeah, not like the 1,200-year-old seal. Yeah. No, this guy's been down here for, like, 30 to 60 years, not the 1,200 that he's, you know, that's supposed to be no touchy, you know.
I'll toss the vials up to Arif. What do you make of this, my friend?
Speaking of, well, magic art and agile. Do you have craft alchemy? Do you have knowledge arcana?
Knowledge arcana, I might have.
Okay. Something else, Vex, the body, and, you know, dated by. Now, I'm assuming, like, unless there's something very secretive, you guys are sharing knowledge back and forth. So something Arif knows, I can tell Vex, right?
Arif won't shut up.
Sharing is caring.
I don't have
knowledge or can.
Okay. Is the if somebody got down here and is out of time, like he's too old to be here from us recently in the lottery, but not quite, like a little young on the sealed up with the construction kind of thing. This may explain the scratches on the outside door. Remember we dug our way into the door and then there were all that scratching and stuff and prying marks and whatever?
It seems that we may be in luck, my friends. It looks like the person who originally broke in here failed to get very far. Perhaps the rest of the tomb will be undisturbed.
Arif will just nod his head and look at the vials and shake them, and you can almost tell he's got no idea. But he's scratching his chin and he'll hand them back. They could be almost anything.
What was he doing in here? Hasn't this place been sealed up for over 1,000 years?
So do we have any, like, knowledge of any recent openings of this area?
No, as far as you know, that your own church, the Phrasmites, have had control of this area, you know, sealed it up, and, you know, dude is not supposed to be down here in, you know, in any capacity.
We did find signs of a forced entry when we first arrived, though.
Judging from his condition, the fact that he was alone, it stands to reason he had just broke in looking for easy pickings. Sadly, he did not find them. This, I assure you, was no church-sanctioned activity.
Ah, yes, a looter, a most noble practice.
Like, signs like a weird pharasmatic holy symbol in front of him. Rest in peace, my brother. And then I'll turn to the door, and I'll look back to Ren. Some assistance, please, my friend.
And I'll step up to the door.
All right.
Arif is moving back, contemplating a journal that he pulled out absentmindedly. Yeah, should be safe.
Can I have strength checks, gentlemen?
Okay. 7.
21.
Okay, so while you're on one door, and it's, like, not moving for the little guy, Ren just kind of one-hands it and... yanks on this big door and opens it up.
Do we have a light source?
That was my very next question. What are we doing for light sources these days, gentlemen?
Yes, I have a torch in one hand and I've been wielding my sword in the
other. As you kind of set the torch, as you kind of set the torch down or aside, the light dances across Arif's book in a way that, you know, it just chaps him. He casts a quick prayer to Phrasma and a light just appears kind of in his hand as he's holding it. There we go. That's much better.
Ding.
So we've got light.
Lights are on. The walls of this 10-foot-wide corridor feature bas-relief carvings of great battles. Armies with spears and shields clash at the direction of generals, while other leaders direct troops from chariots that are ruthlessly overrunning their enemies. Engraved stone double doors stand at either end, including the far end, mirroring the entrance that you have stepped into. Something interesting. Arif, can I have a perception check, please?
You may. 10. Natural 1.
Okay. 10's enough. Something out of the corner of your eye, there's movement right by you.
Yeah. What's this?
You look up, and the rope is rapidly receding. You just kind of get that. It wiggles out of the corner of your eye and kind of jerks up into the ceiling and starts going up, all by itself.
He'll call up. Hello? We're still down here.
Okay. No one's hanging over the edge. Just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. And then there's a short pause, and it starts coming back as if someone has attached some sort of weight or something to it. And they dramatically, you know, foot by foot, inch by inch, and you see these hands reaching out as far as they can, holding, you know how you use the pulley system? So it's not, the rope isn't draped down the side of the wall. It's like extended out, you know, so the length of a man's arm, and they're feeding it through his fingers, and it's causing something, a stone, a weight starts descending, a crystal, something that starts giving off your light and reflecting it the closer you get, and then stops. So if your ceiling is about 10 feet, right? And just up inside that, you know, still technically in the shaft, a rope is being dangled with a flat plate, 2-inch wide, you know, 2-inch long, 1-inch wide, or sorry, 3-inch long, 2-inch wide, flat, 1/4-inch thick plate-like crystal with etching all over it. And it's the person just kind of dangling it like a lure, and it's spinning.
Well, this is a clear indication that I should step back.
Okay.
And I'll kind of move out from underneath it and then make my way through the doors in front of my friends there, and then I'll turn and point. There appears to be something dangling from the shaft that we climbed out. Yes. Have a look. And I'm pointing with my kind of glowing hand that way.
Okay.
Vex turns around and goes back into the room.
Where's the rope? What is going on?
Sorry, Aiden? Rin?
Rin will step in, you know, raise the torch and look at it.
Okay.
Perception of 7. What do I see?
You're not sure what you see. It looks like a head, a small portrait. Something has been painted onto like a piece of glass that some mean bastard is dangling from the end of your rope, 12 feet in the air, quite out of your reach. You look up the shaft, you just see an arm. Just do-do-do-do, you know, kind of thing. They measured it. They don't even have to look over the side to, like, guess how far it is. It's almost like they've counted the lengths. And just kind of wiggle, 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 you know, that kind of thing. Rin, can I have an intelligence check, please?
Of course. 5.
You know what this is, but you can't fathom how it's come to be here on the end of your rope. You know what I'm saying? Like, you woke up with no memory, you know, don't know who you are. You have a basic idea of what you are, but you don't know who you are in the infirmary, and the Phrasmite priest has dragged you out here to adventure with them. And you get these urges. You'll find yourself always watching the young Vandal as he goes to work when he's not looking at you, and you feel this urgency, like something you need to do that involves him, but it's always the corners of your mind. And you have that same feeling now, looking at this crystal, something is scratching at the corner of your mind, but it won't surface, like something's blocking it. Let's go back in time to earlier this very day. Jump on the imagination copter. The scene draws up quickly through the shaft and falls out the doorway, too quick to really register on the figure that's dangling the rope, out the doors, across the half-dead city, and up into the sky, where you see little pockets of adventurers digging in and going to their allotted sites, just like Halloween trick-or-treaters having a great time type of thing. And over, it fades across the city and then zips across the earth and goes backwards twice, 3 times, as if rewinding time a couple hours, maybe. Down, back into the center of the city, over the market, and then zooming across down to the Shrine of Wadjet at the river, where several priestesses and oracles and priests and the faithful are searching the river. They are, with new renowned vigor for some reason, maintaining it, clipping weeds. Men with spears are driving back crocs. It's not just a place to worship Wadjet now, not just a place where people chat in a meeting place, lovers don't get eaten by a crocodile, and do your laundry, suddenly a much larger amount of the Osirian Gurundi in Wati's populace are taking this shrine a lot more seriously for some reason. They are cleaning it, maintaining it. They are viciously, you know, looking for something. Because recently, unknown to the rest of you, a sign has been given. They believe a sign from the goddess Wajet herself. They mumble about an ancient prophecy about on the night a meteor falls, just like 1,200 years ago, and dragged from the river as a sign the Phrasmites took from the gods, and a religion changed, and they shaped an amantium stone for 10 years, chipped it into a pyramid, and stuck it upon that spire, and brought modern religion to Osirian. Now, to their credit, the church did save the city from a magical plague, and a lot of ancient religions like Wajet and Horus and such, they didn't go away, but they became a lot less popular for these new religions. And we have Abadar, and we have Pharasma, and we have Nethys prominent in the city now. The Phrasmites, that church, dominate the city, control trade, the populace, they control the half-dead city. They were responsible 1,200 years ago for breaking the plague, scooping everything up, sealing the city, and they have a relationship directly with Pharaoh himself. Now, Pharaoh said, open the gates, and they weren't keen on this, so they said, fine, we'll make it a lottery, so it's impartial. And here our adventurers are, adventuring, but they've told them to respect everything inside. So imagine a few people that just start spreading the word that one night recently, another meteor fell, another flaming rock from the sky into the river. People saw it, and they have a prophecy that while the new gods claimed much of Osirian during this time after the first meteor fell, the old gods will make a stand 1,200 years later and one by one reclaim the faithful after another meteor falls. So debate quietly, scholars around the city in the last couple days after people start talking, revealing, remembering, and seeing, not a lot of people, but seeing this meteor falling from the sky. A debate about, you know, which ancient god will make their stand first. And then news travels that a man, a pale man in perfect armor, emerges from the river as if birthed from it, demands access to the city gates immediately into the undead city, is turned, follows the rules, is polite to people, speaks strangely like he's from out of town. Those that saw him emerge from the river said the river just gave him up, like he wasn't swimming. He stood and walked from it and up the steps, up the center of the shrine of Wajet. A small cult of the oracles have started following this man, keeping tabs on him. What is the first thing he do? When they let him inside the city, he defaces the new god's spire, climbing it to the top as if trying to get to that meteor, as if trying, by their words, trying to say there's a new god in town, like he's some kind of harbinger. The Phrasmites stop him, incarcerate him, and do something to him while in the mausoleum. And when he emerges again, he's not himself. Oh, the Phrasmites take him in there, and he's entered in the lottery and disappears. This does not bode well with the oracles of Wajet. So now they scour the river, looking for another sign, praying, how can we help him? If he is of your river, Lady Wajet, what can we do? This has been going on without the party's knowledge for a little time now. The scene races down the river and then out into the open desert, where a single sand cat seeks shade and to do its business, little kicking up from behind, and then walks away to return to its other business, the hunt, the chase, and just sort of fades like a mirage. Fafal, you awake, buried in the sand, clawing your way. You're not buried deeply, but clawing your way to the top, covered in sand like someone had buried you like 6 inches down, emerging, covered in wet sand, and what is that, those brown things everywhere, and regaining breath. You are made of air. You are a sylph. So to be buried is kind of an insult and a little traumatizing to you, but you re-emerge and it comes back to you. Your curse, your death, you're here. You're in the desert. You fled this place not too long ago. Why are you here? Why have you woken so far inland when you were so close to getting on a boat and getting far away? The details we'll get into later, but for right now, cleaning yourself off, heading towards whatever you can find. You find the river. Jumping in, crossing, hearing city, seeing smoke, heading towards it, you come upon the priests of Wadjet on the outskirts. Now, the oracles of Wadjet have a custom. They actually travel up and down the river, helping people that have broken their boat, been attacked by crocodiles, come wandering out of the desert and foolishly stick their face, you know, to grab the first drink of water. These, like, relief workers, it's part of their pilgrimage. They constantly wander the river helping people. So, when approached by a couple of friendly priestesses of Wadjet that, you know, see that you're alone, distressed, naked... Did I mention you have no clothes? You know, they are concerned. They come upon the pale, blue, white-haired man. They offer him clothes. They offer you a little bit of food, fresh water. You know, they ask you how you come to be here. They take you in and they start leading you towards the city.
I cannot thank you again for all of your hospitality, really. It does warm my heart. Enough so even out here in this desert heat. Thank you.
Are you... being honest with these ladies, or do you perceive them as, shall we say, marks and have already sort of sleight of hand searched them? They have wrapped you in linens, you know, not hot clothes specifically, but you're wrapped in coverable, you know, white linens that they wear. They have sort of the white head round wrap that crosses their breast and then sort of like a skirt kind of deal that they've given you to wear. It's kind of unisex clothing, so you can put it on how you like, but they, you know, so you can cover yourself modestly. It's cool clothing, that kind of thing. They've given you water from their own water skin, but you know, they say you can go within the city or whatever. They are even polite enough to give you a few coins, just something where you can buy a meal and maybe restart your fortune.
Right. No, I am not one to look a gift horse in the mouth and try and take the rest of the money.
Okay.
They are doing a service to those in need, and I respect that. Mm. And I would not want to bring harm to that in any way.
Okay. A stone's throw away from the city itself, amongst the reeds, you know, like you could literally pick up a rock and chuck it, and there's a crowd of people at the river on these stone steps, you know, and you can see the entire city. You're so close. But there are people in the river. There are people swimming. There's people diving. There's people clearing weeds and doing all something, maintaining this sort of dock or whatever the heck this thing is. And a woman emerges as if she was diving deep in the river with something in her hand, clasping a piece of quartz or something. And she comes up, oh, I found something. I found something. Sisters, sisters, you know, I found she talks about how she found like this giant sort of steel and rock orb embedded in the river bank about 15 feet below in the reeds, and it was open, and she looked inside, and sitting inside the base of this sort of cave dark structure, you know, is this glimmer, and she went for it and pulled it and surfaced with this sort of looks like a quartz crystal the size of her palm. It's actually quite big. She's very excited. Oh, I found a rock, you know, swims over and shows the women that actually are accompanying you. So you're just sort of like, they step away from you. It's their own business. And they're prattling on in modern Osirian. Do you speak it?
I'm not actually sure.
I know it's been a while.
Yes.
Do you speak Grundy?
No, I actually speak Kelish.
Okay. So, you know, they're very excited about a rock. You know, obviously she found something. She comes, she starts prattling on with the women that helped you. They spoke several languages until they actually got to Kelishite that you understood. And then you've been conversing because they would, I believe that's a neighboring country. So they could, you know, luckily somebody spoke that. So, you know, or they're just kind of, you know, here, your clothes, you know, you're naked. Here's water. Okay, thank you. Yeah. You know, and they're going to take you to prom. All right. You know.
Well, eventually I would have reverted to common.
Okay. They speak it dryly. They speak Katapesh better than these guys. These ones speak common, I'll tell you that. You know, whatever works, right? So emerging from the river, this diver with this big quartz crystal in her hand, showing the girls, and they kind of like, you know, nod and step away from you. And they're just oohing and aahing like it's the greatest thing ever. It obviously seems to have some kind of significance or value to them. They're just gushing over this thing. From what you can see, she's just waving it around. It just looks like a big piece of quartz. Like, it's just rock. You know, you don't get it.
Well, I'll step up to them. Like, excuse me, I am sorry to intrude, but I'm so curious. What is that?
Oh, so they tell you. You know, they worship the goddess Wadjet, protector of the river. And there's a prophecy, and we are searching for more signs to support it. you know, they call him the River Man, but it doesn't translate well to Katapesh.
Right.
It sounds like they're calling him like Rerun or something. It doesn't translate very well over Serenity, but you understand the word. It means man of the river or emerge from the river, something, birth of the river.
Yeah.
And it's in the old tongue. Like they know, they've picked a word from ancient Osirian because there's no word for it in modern Osirian. Doesn't translate very well. Right. So to take that again into Katapesh or Common, it just, the word just, name, yeah. But it's like, you know, to you, I guess it would sound like a North American Indian, like, you know, Moon Bear, you know. They call him the Moon Bear. It's like, well, that's not a name. There's a moon and there's a bear. Those are names of objects, not a person's name. No. Anyway, they're going on about this guy. They call him, you know, River Man. And they're all excited about it, talking about a prophecy. And, you know, she's listening. Anyway, she holds it up to show you. And there's a picture, like a little painting on the crystal of the head and shoulders of a person. It's obviously watered down or faded because the person is like beyond pale. Not sort of stylistically blue, whitey, pale like yourself, sir, but he certainly doesn't look like a Gurundi man with the darker tan skin, you know, generations, that kind of thing. This guy looks very pale, and is wearing, has like metal shoulders in this depiction, you know, so they're going on like this guy is some kind of savior or something, or they're very excited about finding this. Anyway, you like, they're waving it up in your face. You get a decent look at it. And off we go. Like, so they run off to tell, you know, high priestesses or whatever. And they leave you with one woman. And she starts bringing you back to the city, explaining, you know, okay, we got to go. This kind of thing. You know, are you going to be okay? She recommends a cheap inn at the Af City. You know, tell them, you know, Sister Wadia sent you. You know, my cousin works there. And, you know, you're thanks for the eyeful when you were naked. I'll get you a room. You know, that kind of thing. And, you know, call me. So I know what room you're in. I might see you tonight later. Blue guy. Oh, come on. Who hasn't played Mass Effect? And it's like your choices were human and blue alien. Where'd you go for first? Come on.
That's fair.
They do explain. They ask you some questions, too. Like in your language, they were like, oh, are you here? You know, are you one of the adventurers that came for the opening of the Dead City? And you're like, no. But you know of it. It's like, okay, that was weeks ago. They're still going on about that. Okay, whatever. You know, I got to the coast, and now you're back here. Not sure how you got here. Moving on. And anyway, you see this commotion. Obviously, it must be centered around the girl in the rock, or as the rock changes hands, because everyone wants to see it. It gets sent up the food chain of priests, you know, kind of thing. Now, to your knowledge, you have been in the city. Knowledge local.
Yes. All right. Knowledge local of 19.
There isn't, like, there's the shrine, and then there's the priests and oracles, but they go home. There isn't, like, a temple like the mausoleum for Phrasma. These guys have, like, the shrine they meet at. They do their thing. And there's, like, you're the priest, right, and you're the oracle. But, you know, when it's time to go to bed or time to go to the office, there is none. They just go home, and they work out of their houses. You know, and then they come here to, like, meet and praise the goddess at the river, but there's no sort of, like, workspace. You know, so this shrine is sort of the temple. Like, this is it. Anyway,
okay,
they make their way there, and, you know, it gets passed and older, and they're all praising the young woman diver that found it and everything, and, you know, all this great stuff. So they're like, yeah, you know, this is awesome. So they go off, and they head into the city. You know, great. And you, what do you do? Has it been a long day already? You want to get a room? You want to seek shelter? What do you, you know?
Well, I do like to repay kindnesses, you know, however way I can. And so, you know, with the woman, you know, kind of being like, well, you know, here's the room, or, you know, here's an inn you can stay at. Mm-hmm. Like, well, I will definitely take you up on that, but is there anything I can do to repay you? Like, I would love to be of service to you to repay my debts, as I feel.
Be very humbled. You know, you are kind, but Wajit provides. You know, she doesn't seem to be sort of like picking up what you're laying down. There's a lot of thank you, but like, no, we're good. You know, like, Wajit provides for us. The river provides all. I'm so humbled just to be in the service. You know, we are so happy that you are well. You know, Wajit chose to spare you from the river, not take you. You know, so obviously she has a plan for you. And this is the closest city. Go forth. Here's a little bit of money. You know, find your fortune. Thank you. You know, that type of thing. Or, you know, there's so much traffic coming in. But eventually there will be boats leaving the city after this calms down and head back to Katapesh and, you know,
right, that
kind of thing. I mean, you're from a neighboring country, and they might have never seen a elf, but there's the legend, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've never seen a black widow spider, but I know America's crawling with them. You're the neighboring country to Canada. Yeah. You know, if I see one, I wonder what that is. I bet you that's a black widow spider. You know, that kind of, so this is how I'm treating you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hands across the water, yeah. That kind of thing. So it's early morning as far as you can tell. you know.
I mean, if it's early morning, then you know, I'll chill by the river, kind of keep an eye on, you know, the rock, because I'm curious if nothing else. And if someone starts to bring it into the city, then I will start to follow them.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Curious.
It doesn't take them very long, and a lot of people leave the shrine all of a sudden. Like, a decision's been made, and it's like, you're part of a parade, and you're like, oh, cool, a parade. You walk up, and you're part of the parade, and all of a sudden it just ends. You catch the end, everyone leaves, you're just kind of like, oh, all the fun kind of going that way. This is how you feel. You're sitting there, and they all bugger off, right? But there is a commotion. It's moving into the city, you know?
Okay. I'll tail them.
Okay.
As I do.
As one does, you know, seeking...
As one does.
Seeking adventure as quickly as you can. You follow them, and they go straight to the center, to the Golden Lake, full of albino crocodiles, and straight up the steps, and there's like a lot of them. So it looks like they're encroaching on the church, you know, this kind of thing, right? Bang on the doors, and they're, you know, there's this exchange, the guards kind of close ranks going, hey, what's, you know, that's a lot of oracles coming up our steps, what's going on, guys? You know, got to slow their roll. Anyway, so you see an exchange going on, and just everyone in the line is just so excited about, you know, what will happen. And I guess the head of their order, or somebody older that must have the rock or something, you know, is wanting to see, you know, get in. And anyway, they let a couple of them in. And then it's just like Woodstock. Everyone just kind of camps out, and time just starts going by. And there are people coming, you know, passerbys and curious and stuff that add to the ranks, and rumors start flying around. And then finally the Phrasmite's going, okay, you know what? You know, like, we've let your people in, discussions for your concerns are going on, but, you know, back off. Like, you know, we're trying to run the lottery here. There's people, like, let the people in, you know, so they kind of clear the steps. And now the oracles and the priests and the faithful are like in the area, taking up a bunch of marketplace, which again is now multiplying with people. But now there is sort of a path, and there are adventurers like dragging their asses out that got beat up, you know, paying for healing, going in and out, regular Phrasmite business. You even see, you know, there's a lot of like Phrasmites being harassed. They get halfway down the stairs and somebody, especially a Wadjet, well, excuse me, you know, is there any word? I don't know what's going on. I can't get into those rooms, man. I can't go fill my scrolls. Get off me, man. Crazy river bitch. Okay, get on, moving on. Type of thing.
So I will actually walk up to kind of one of the groupings of them and, you know, excuse me, what's going on? I see all the commotion and I'm very curious. What's with the large gathering of the priestesses and oracles of Wadjet?
Oh, you know, we have found... something that we believe belongs to, I want to say Rain Man. I'm just going to tease the crap out of Ryan because he wasn't here. He missed several shows. the water, you know, like the river man, you know, we have something that obviously belongs to him, and they are petitioning the church to return it to him. So they want to go into the city, the undead city, the half-dead city, but you can't. You have to be lotteried and given a part of land, and you know what I mean? They can't just have a whole bunch of people go in there and go, hey, this must be yours, you know? Let's start doing the Wadjet dance, right? So like, no. You know, so they're petitioning the church. Yeah. Our elders are petitioning the church to get permission to go in, not as part of the lottery, to find him. And they know where he is. The Phrasmites, you know, control the lottery. They control it, so they know exactly where he is. They want to know, where is he? We have something that belongs to him, must be returned, you know? So a lot of that's going on. Behind closed doors.
Okay. Well, I'll mention to them. Well, this isn't my first rodeo, as I've been a courier in the past for many of things, you know, messages, packages, and whatnot. And a couple of your priestess companions actually helped me earlier, and I have been wanting to pay back the services. I would not mind being a courier here for the goddess Wadjet. Because I'm aware that, you know, the necropolis is very dangerous, and so I would not want to see anyone getting hurt.
Okay.
So just offering my services.
Okay.
As a courier.
I don't think they're really following you. what are you trying to say?
Well, they would need someone to go deliver it to. Deliver the item to the person.
Oh, no. Are you of the faithful? Looking you up and down, you know? Like, They assure you that if that were happen, that like the honor would probably go to the highest of their order, or possibly the young woman that found it. And they point her out, and sure enough, you know, surrounded by a couple of people that seem to be bugging her, and she's like vehemently refusing them something. In the crowd, other side of the steps, they point the girl out, and sure enough, you see the girl, the diver, and she's being harassed by her own people, and she's, you know, darting a satchel. No, Shut up now. You can't see it. That kind of thing. That type of thing. But this person, these other people tell you, like, well, the honor would either go to her that found it and she points them out, or, you know, the people that are in there doing the discussion, the great honor of, you know, we appreciate you, you know, the offer, but ha ha ha. No, you know, only the Pope gives out the wafers, you know, not necessarily. Okay.
Yeah. So I will step away, and do I have enough coin to be able to get myself equipped for adventuring?
They gave you a couple coppers. I mean, like, if you leave town, you die.
Okay.
Like, you know where your next meal's coming from? These coins. And you get some free bedding. But tomorrow, you are, you know, you're a guy in a loincloth. Like, this is not, prospects do not bode well. And you're miles inland. Like, sure, there's the river that takes you out, but you would manage to get to the coast. How the hell did you get here? Again, we'll cover that soon. So, the scene pulling away from the stairs and Fafal contemplating his next move and racing back down to the tomb of Emkiptempi and back down past someone dangling a crystal. Obviously, sometime later, a couple laps around the earth, fast forward back to the present a couple hours, and there is this crystal and something is scratching at your mind. So there's no meta on your part. I'm just going to say Vex, looking very puzzled, confused.
How high is the ceiling?
10 feet.
So, like, I could get boosted up by Ren and grab it.
Yep.
Because I don't care about the crystal, but I do care about having the rope access.
Okay. So what do you want to do?
So I will turn to Ren. Your assistance, my friend. And I'll, like...
Dude,
put my foot up and be like,
scurry up onto his shoulders, just like in a parade. You got the kid on your shoulder, and dude climbs you like you're nothing. Just blop. There you go.
So Ren will assist him and boost him up.
Okay, so you guys move out to the center.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, and boost you up. Okay, so as he's on the way up, okay, you see like a little pale white head wrap, like a little peak kind of thing, and they see someone's going for it, and as Vex is being boosted, right? They start walking around the circumference of the shaft and they're lowering it. They're getting it closer to you, Vex, but they're keeping it away from you. So now it's like almost down in front of you where you could reach it if it was right above you, but they've moved it laterally and they're going around the outside. So it's now like 5 feet out in front of you as opposed to up.
What are you doing? This is not funny. This rope is our only way out of here. I do not relish the thought of being trapped in here for the rest of my life.
There's a quick jerk and it jumps up in the air, right? And you hear a feminine faint voice call down, not you, him.
Fine, whatever. So I'll jump off and I will struggle to boost.
Go grab the rope, friend, or we will be trapped in here forever.
Okay.
You're gonna lift a guy in banded mail.
Yep.
Okay, so picture this. There's Rin standing in the middle, arms, legs wide, okay? This head appears between your crotch. The arms fold around to grab your hips. And Vex tries to lift you, but basically, and you like go up to your tippy toes.
Well, let's see if I succeed. You can never know. I could roll good.
Well, I'm waiting for the roll.
One.
As I was saying, Eric's got a great view of it. Looks like you're growing out of his back, you know, kind of thing, and tipping around. Anyway, as you guys steer around and are just kind of like shuffling forward, right? Rin, the rope actually drops in front of you, and they dangle this quartz crystalline rope right in front of you. And again, the female voice calls down to you. What do you do?
I will grab it.
You go to reach, and she pulls it back and says, "Praise Wajet, accept her gift this day." And then they mumble something like a name or whatever you can't quite make out.
"Thank you, Wajet, for this gift."
Okay.
And then reach out for it again.
A gleeful, happy giggle, and then they just let the rope go. And it comes all the way down to like whatever length that you guys were, and the crystal plops right in front of you.
Grab it.
You pick it up.
Untie it from the rope.
Let it go. Vex throws himself on the rope.
Right. Are there handles on the doors?
No.
Is there anything I can tie this to?
There's a corpse over there.
The corpse.
There's a body over there.
I tie it to the body.
Okay, you removed 4 pitons and a hammer from the corpse, but you're going to tie it to an ankle?
Oh, sweet. Yes. Okay, so I take a piton and I hammer it into the wall and I tie the rope off to it.
I'm sorry. You guys have been very patient with the long-winded story. Get you back to that. Rin.
Whew.
A quartz crystal shaped like a small coffin or sarcophagus. It's a plate. It's opaque white. It's not very thick, like barely a quarter inch, about an inch wide at the bottom, inch and a quarter at the top, about 2-3 inches long. And it has like a very high quality embedded painting of your face in it and a bunch of lines and designs. You hold it in your hands and it feels familiar. And again, it's not a memory of like, oh, I know what this is or what to do with it or that type of thing. It's just that you know this belongs to you somehow.
Interesting. Hmm.
Can I have a kind of a willpower check, please?
Willpower check. Got a 19.
They're almost quite audibly in your head is a compulsion to drop it and walk away. Like a random thought, like a bad thought. Like you're walking on a bridge and you see a guy leaning over and you just have a compulsion to go shove. It's a terrible thing. But everybody has it. You just don't. You might enjoy it. You might say nothing. But you keep walking. That kind of compulsion. You have this weird ass compulsion just to throw it, like get rid of it. But you know it's yours. And you fight this compulsion. And then suddenly something surfaces. It is yours. It belongs to you. And it is a way to, no, it's not quite there. And yet you find your hand reaching up and taking off your helmet and your fingernails digging into the back of your hairline and finding a mole. And you pull at that mole, and the mole, quite to your surprise, is a hatch. A knob, a button to press it, and a seam opens up in the back of your neck. A seam that quite literally is about a quarter inch wide and an inch tall.
Interesting.
There's a hole in the back of your head that's the same size as the end of this thing.
Well, plug it in.
Okay. Again, your arm, you want to do this, but your arm doesn't respond to your impulse. Can I have another will save, please?
5.
The compulsion to drop it is severe, and your fingers just against your will just open and it slide, just watch it painfully, like, oh no, just kind of slip from your grasp and hit the floor. In the corner, there's Vex, ting, 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 okay? Arif, you witness all of this from the doorway where you're quietly standing. You see that one lift the other, the Wajet priestess call down, ask him for a token thanks, even lip service before they give it up to him, how he's supposed to have it. They're all happy he does and bugger off. He picks up the crystal. He's struggling with it. And then he just sort of lifts his head and he starts scratching at the back of his head like he's so puzzled that he can't quite figure out what to do with it. And he tilts his head and he's just scratching the back of his head. And then all of a sudden his eyes widen in horror as he watches his own fingers just kind of struggle against his will, open, and it just falls to the floor beside him. And he just stares at it. What do you do?
Wow, this is all kind of new to me here. So I'd like to make kind of like a sense motive check. Just to kind of get the gist of, you know, this inner battle, just so I can kind of legitimize my next actions.
Okay.
22.
You're not sure what the Wajet priest gave him, but he went for it, and he's trying to figure, like, you know, he's really looking at thinking like, what is this, what do I do with this, they think it's mine, that type of thing. And he's literally, like, from your perspective, not opening a hole in his head, from your perspective just looks like he's scratching the back of his head, right, playing with this thing, lifts it up in the air as if to eye level to look at it. You know, you don't quite get that wrist turn where he was, you know, trying to bring it aligned with the back of his head or anything. He just brings it up to eye level, and then all of a sudden a look of shock or immense concentration, and you just see his fingers just slowly open. And he drops it like he doesn't even want to. The look on his face says, I don't want to drop this, but his hands open up and now he's looking down. This thing's laying on the ground next to him.
Okay. I will move and pick it up. Examine it. Do I have any idea what this is?
It looks like a flat quartz crystal. Pretty much opaque. What's remarkable is the masterwork painting of his face embedded in the top half of it where it's wider. It literally is a head and shoulders hot shot verbatim of, to you, what would look like the finest artist. And it's sunken in the crystal. Like, it's not painted on the surface. Someone has painted it, like, within a layer, because the top of the crystal covers the picture. But you can see quite clearly it is the man in front of you who looks torn and distraught.
Ren? Turn around for me. Let's have a look at what you're digging at there.
And I'll kind of turn this thing over in my head. Kind of, you know, do a quick examination of where he was clawing at.
Okay.
If I think it'll fit, I'll stuff it in.
Can I have a heal check first?
Okay. Yeah, I'll just take a 10 on it. Get a 20.
Okay. taking that score before you jump to the, let's look at the back of your head kind of thing, your first impulse would be they gave him something that's trying to control him, or you know what I mean? Like something, some magical thing that's fucking him up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe that's why he dropped it, and you pick it up. It's got a picture on it. And maybe that's why he's horrified. You see your own face in a piece of crystal. They're like, oh, this is for you. What the fuck? Mm-hmm. You know, getting closer. And then, like I said, he's scratching the back of his head or whatever. And then you hear like this little click, and you, the heel check, you know, the examining, it's just kind of like, mm-hmm. maybe it's part of his armor that the ribs that go up the back to meet the plate of the actual helm, you know, like neck protection. Perhaps mm-hmm. that's it. Perhaps you're not seeing, you know, what you think you see, but there is that slot. You do see it if you examine him with your 10. And, yeah, spin him around. And
all right. Well, if he doesn't resist and it looks like it fits, then it's going in.
Okay. It does. And
hi-yah!
It just clicks it in. Then he just, like, smacks it with his fist, right? You know. Okay. As soon as it glides in like a good inch into the socket or whatever, okay, Rin mm-hmm. immediately goes limp, just slumps to the ground like he's unconscious, or it's, you know, you've killed him, who knows. And before you have a chance to do anything else, like, oh no, he just kind of slumps to the ground in front of you, laying there limp as a board. Immediately he starts violently shaking like he's having some kind of seizure, and he starts coughing up Vex, that black stuff that you did. And the stuff, as he coughs it up, part of it, like whatever kind of splatters and is close enough, literally starts crawling along the sand trying to get back in him.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no. Vex, you're like a...
trying to grab
you're
the
at the...
Help me! This can't be good!
So I'll drop the hammer and turn and try to help.
Okay. get a cloth in there and just start scraping the stuff away. And anyway,
yep.
Unbeknownst to you guys, the, you know, man, an internal battle is going on, and something is setting things to zero, rewriting and literally magnetizing and deleting and overwriting and then remagnetizing positronic things inside him. And the, shall we say, outside element that's in him is getting burned, turned inert, or, you know, is going to be destroyed, and it exits him quickly so that it will not be succumb to this process. And as the process ends and Rin awakes, this outside influence is actually trying to re-enter his body, and this is what you guys see. Barf, oh no, stop it, come back, you know, grab him, get him up, or whatever. Rin, Ryan, you are back online. You are in self-diagnostic reformat mode. Reinstall Windows. Blah, 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 blah. Your eyes are filled with images that only you see in the virtual. You know, would you like to install, you know, Google? Would you like to, you know, this type of thing that you can like select and choose a path, and you are reformat to zero. You are nothing. You are installing. Now, with this technology, the personality matrix and everything boots right up. Dun, 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 dun. You know, it's instantaneous. Basically, it will empty your head and take all the information, a copy of your brain, much like an Altered Carbon, from the past. I don't know if anyone's seen like the last season of Altered Carbon, what they did, double sleeving.
So yeah. Good. So
imagine
good.
Imagine that. It's almost like a while ago, you copied your mind onto a crystal from that date, February 2019, and everything you know up until that date. And saved it. All the experiences you've had now are gone, and you've dialed your brain back to that, and it's installed as a copy. So you know who you are, you know what you are, you know where you're from, but you don't know why you're here. You know what you do, you know what I mean? You know, up to a certain point, the Mandel unit that constantly backs you up, that's underwater where they took this crystal from, right? Crashed, malfunctioned. Some of the data, some of your memories are corrupted. You remember that you were chasing something down, cargo. You remember you came to this B-class, M-class planet system. You remember that for some reason, something in the data of your hyperspace coordinates were corrupt, and you came out of drive, the drift, too close to the sun. And it was like, you know, the ship just kind of gave up. Nope, I'm going to burn up. Get your butt on the pod. All data will be put there. And in the solar flares and stuff that almost incinerated you, a lot of that data is corrupted. It landed. It rivered you. You came out, and all your data was backed up as you left the pod. and now you're relying on this backup data, but any mission, any parameters besides, you know, your reclamation unit, you know, you chase down rogue tech, but why you're on a world with no tech doesn't make any sense to you. You remember getting Mandel to scan the populace, to scan what tech there is, and there was like nothing. And that's the last thing you remember, and everything else is sort of corrupt. Let's welcome back Ryan Messia playing his original character, and thank you, Aiden, for doing such a good job of playing a character who got memory wiped, quite literally, where we asked another player to play the same character, so there's absolutely no meta. Thank you, sir. And Ryan, welcome back to the show.
Greetings.
Arif, he greets you.
Sensory input.
Hello? I'm confused. What's going on?
1 minute. Detect evil.
Okay. There's this, it's almost there, and then Vex just kind of slides out of the way. No, you sense no evil in the immediate surroundings.
Good. Greetings. I am R3N.
I know. Ren?
Okay.
No, you're incorrect. My designation is R3N.
Something has happened to you. A plate was placed within your head that caused what we're currently seeing. Can you explain that?
A plate?
A crystal, a slide of things, if you will. It had your likeness engraved upon one side. Clearly it was meant for you.
Oh, that must have been a recovery.
It's
in case of a catastrophic memory failure, it can be used to restore me to my previous backup state.
The crystal is actually sticking out the back of the neck and waggling around as he's talking to you.
Yep.
He sits up, stands up, starts addressing you quite politely, like he doesn't even know you.
I retrieved the crystal, now knowing that it's there.
Yes, that thing. It did this to you. Restored to a what? This is all confusing to me.
Of course it would be.
Something I don't care for, to be quite honest with you.
It is beyond your people's understanding, of course.
Is that black liquid still like trying to get back into him?
Nope. It's actually going after you.
What? Okay. Oh my god! I'm being possessed! The devil is upon me! Help me! Help me! As I back into the corner away from this.
I look over and I see. Do I identify the black substance?
Can I have a perception check, please?
Of course. Rub roll.
Yeah, you could just go over and like he bends himself in half 90 degrees right over and has a good look.
Yeah. Six.
Not sure. Not enough data.
Mm. Very well. I reach for my tower shield.
Nope. For some reason, that part of your equipment is missing.
Hmm.
Your armor's intact. Your body's intact. Your functions are intact. Your sword is intact.
And I was holding a torch.
I believe. Yeah. Well, after you hit the ground, you've kind of dropped sword and torch. They're lying at the ground beside you.
I retrieve both, and I swing at the swirly black mass.
Okay. It acts like an ooze. You chop away, and it just sort of kind of reforms and, you know.
With a torch?
With the torch, it's a different matter. You start poking it and burning, and it burns away. It smells like something familiar. Can I have an intelligence check, please?
Gladly. Four.
You know that smell, but you can't place it. And the smell is mixed with other things now, sand and whatever else, but just there's just too much going on too quickly. Anyway, it does not like the fire, and you slow it down and begin burning it. Can I have D6 damage, please?
Certainly. One.
Okay. Part that you burn away solidifies into like a tar substance and stops moving, but the rest of it is just intent upon Vex, who's freaking out in a corner.
I would advise assaulting it with more fire.
I would advise leaving. And I will move backwards out of the way.
Okay. What do you do, Vex?
Freak out. Try to get away from it.
Okay. You want to climb a wall because it's got you cornered. Now, it's a small thing. It's, you know, like, Buddy threw it up. It's like a puke stain that's now moving like an amoeba. You know, and it's like, what the hell? It's black.
You know what? I'm going to swing at it with my rapier. Okay.
Poke, poke. It sticks to the end of your rapier and starts climbing. You don't even have to hit it. You get it that low, and your intent is to strike it. As soon as you get like within a couple inches before you even thrust and roll your d20 to see if you hit it, the thing just kind of pseudopods up in the air, latches onto your rapier, and starts crawling up.
I'll start trying to shake it off.
Okay. You flick it all around. Can I have a d8? Pick a number between 1 and 8, Ryan. Before he rolls, let's try that again. Right. Roll again.
So
his number is two.
Yep. Two?
Three. Okay. It's splattering everywhere as he shakes it. Most of it is staying on. For some reason, you sense this is not a good idea. You don't want to have this stuff on anyone, including yourself. A little chunk goes flying past
you. I would desist that action.
I will stop shaking, but I'll be like, what do I do? What do I do?
Drop the weapon. It is ineffective.
Open my hand. Drop the weapon.
Rin, he drops it.
I continue
strike. Yep, strike it with the flames.
The flames.
D6. There Four. You go. A solid, you know, because it's stuck and thinned out along the rapier blade, you hit it right in the middle, and the flames kind of, I wouldn't say cut it in half, but tar melt and solidify the center of itself, and it doesn't seem to recover. It just sort of slows down and goes inert, and it's sort of melted all over your rapier vex, like tar. But it stops moving.
Well, thank you, my friend. Thank you very much.
You are welcome. One moment, please. Detect evil.
Okay. Nope.
Very good. I am R3N.
Yes, yes, we have been acquainted. You tried to kill me. Do you not remember this?
I am sorry. My memories for the past unknown amount of time has been restored to a time before we must have met. You say I would try to kill you.
Are you crazy?
No. That is impossible.
So I'll bend down and try and retrieve my rapier. Sure.
I would not do that.
It's covered in goo. Like someone melted tar on it.
I would use this. And I hand him the torch.
Okay.
Take the torch and try and burn off the tar.
Scrape. Okay. More the actual hardness of the stick, scraping the blade is more effective than like whatever extra flame you got whacking on here. Arif, in a bad common roundabout way, something that without medical training, Vex really isn't gathering. It would seem that the man that you know as Ren, that is now calling himself Letters and Numbers, is stating that he's lost a part of his memory, that he's lost time, suffering from amnesia, if you were, is the medical term. Though how he knows it instantly is kind of weird, and you've witnessed what happened to him, but...
Well, clearly there's more to him than meets the eye. Obviously not human. That doesn't seem to be a thing that humans would do. I would know. Nope.
No, you know he's not human because the pale skin and the weird eyes and you thought maybe he was some kind of genie kin or some kind of tiefling or some kind of Azamar. Like, he may have some human in him, but there is some strong other heritage or something going on here. Just the way he looks, like the actual texture and you know.
So just kind of standing back where I am, I'll explain what we're doing here. We are in Wati, the city of the dead, exploring. You came with us for that original purpose. What is your intention now?
I am unaware of my directive, although my sub-directives are always to assist goodly species and smite evil.
R3...
That seems oddly specific.
R3N, if you wanted to analyze the goop, you'd have to go back to your pod. If these creatures are in need of your assistance, yes, your sub-programming, you could assist them for a time, but eventually... You're going to want to, like, you know, if you want more data, not that time means anything to you, but, you know, eventually plan A is to go back to the pod and see if you can't analyze or figure out what's going on or find some kind of stimulus. However, these people claim they know you. So probably the quickest path to knowing what's going on with whatever mission is possibly through them.
I previously did spend time with them as I am here now. So it stands the most reason to remain with them to find out why I was with them.
Logical.
Query. Do either of you know where my shield is?
The spinning cleric does.
Not a clue, my friend.
It's possible that it may have been taken from you when you originally climbed from the water. It had some effect that the clergy was not familiar with. So they thought it best to separate the item from you so they could investigate further. A short series of events later is how we ended up here. A voyage of discovery. So to speak.
Clergyman, please, tell me more of these.
Well, we know very little about what's beyond these doors, and that was kind of the intent, was to explore. That seems to be something that you were keen on doing before all this happened, as if you were looking for something as well, and not only this shield thing.
R3N, your shield serves two purposes. One, obviously additional physical protection. It is a shield. And two, the fact that it can generate an EMP pulse to combat technology. As far as you know, you're on a primitive maybe a medieval class world, because you do remember Mandel scans. So its primary function as protection, its primary function as EMP pulse emitter is kind of useless here. But its secondary function as a shield, you know, is still worth retaining if you get your hands on it later.
Indeed. If you know these clergymen who retrieved my shield, perhaps when we are done exploring this place, you could take me through them.
That was the plan, yes.
Excellent. And let us post haste with this exploration.
So, gentlemen?
I'll kind of sweep my hand down the hall.
Here we are.
After you, good sir.
Very well.
And I'll follow, still chipping away at the tarry crap on my sword, trying to get a good clean edge on it again.
So, the walls of this 10-foot-wide corridor feature a bas-relief carving of great battles on both sides. Do you see where the sort of natural carved stone about 10 feet in becomes sort of like a flat plate on both sides and stops 10 feet from the doors? That is the actual featured carving of said battles. Armies with spears and shields clash at the direction of generals, while other leaders direct troops from chariots that are ruthlessly overrunning their enemies. Engraved stone double doors stand at the other end of the hallway.
I'll immediately move to the doors and take 20 to search for traps.
Okay.
As I've just passed Arif, I want to stop and look at the walls and look back at Arif. Query, what is this place that we are exploring?
Arif will kind of scratch his beard, kind of stroke it knowingly. Well, you see, each of these tombs housed an old ancestor. This one happens to be the final resting place of Akintempe. And I'll begin to tell a little bit of the history about it.
Vex, sorry, you said you're examining the doors?
Yeah.
Okay.
Searching for traps and or mechanisms
on the doors themselves, or
well, I'll check the doors first, but then I will start searching the room.
Okay. So, rolling up on the doors themselves, as soon as you get to them, the floor gives way, and there is that distinct pressure plate sound as you step onto a large plate in front of the door. Immediately, the carvings, cleverly hidden through a faint, thin veil of plaster covering harder rock, erupt with darts, pelting the contents and people within from both sides at the same time.
Oh, so sorry, my friends.
What is your... Well, you know what? We'll just pull up, you know... I'm not going for music here because it's, you know, he set off a trap. Going for the doors.
Damn it.
Hey, trap number one. Well, today's trap is brought to you by, you know, the Osirians. They want to kill everyone behind you. I guess they have a respect for rogues because, funny enough, this happens in the hallway behind Vex, not he himself.
Oh, lucky day.
So... a volley of arrows, or of darts, sorry, erupt from the walls. And we have, move some stuff out of here. Rin gets struck with half a dozen of them, as well as old man Arif. And damage, gentlemen, is doink, punk, punk, punk. Luckily, you're shorter, Arif. A couple of darts, you take 4 points of damage. The tall, you know, standing out in the open structure, you get pelted from both sides, and these darts are nasty. Thrown with quite high velocity and penetrate your banded mail R3 end, and you take 9 points of damage.
Ugh.
What do we do?
This is not optimal.
Oh, I am so sorry, my friends. I think I did that. Be very careful where you step.
And then I'll turn and start searching the floor around me to see if I can see any other...
Do you get off the plate you're on, or are you just looking for more plates around you without moving?
Right, exactly that.
So you step where? Down? In front of the other door?
No, I turn.
Okay.
I'm staying on the same spot, and I'm searching the floor around me.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Actually, no. I'm standing on the same spot, and I'm searching the floor around them.
Okay.
Specifically. I know I'm on one.
Mm-hmm. What is your plus to perception?
My plus two perception is 4.
Okay. Logic dictates there could be more pressure plates, but you can't be certain. You don't seem to find a trap.
Be very careful where you step. I don't seem to see any spots around you that are pressure plates, but I could be wrong.
I have been severely damaged. I believe I should seek repairs.
Then do not move from where you are standing and repair yourself.
Well, I did say the initial doors would not be trapped. I said nothing about any interior doors.
And I'm kind of shaking my robes as, you know, darts and needles or whatever these projectiles are. Are these considered small?
Yeah, like self-heal check. You're kind of pulling the stuff up. Yeah. Basically, what they're doing is it's like a D8 plus one damage. The trap attacks you at like plus 12. You get pelted with all these darts, but it does like a set of damage cumulatively if you get hit. As long as the one attack roll hits you, you'll suffer like a multitude of damage. But yeah, you've been pelted, and like a self-heal check, you'll be able to safely remove them, you know.
The reason I'm asking is because I have a specific set of armor that grants me damage reduction, 3/dash, against arrows, bolts, darts, shurikens, thrown daggers, and other small ranged piercing weapons.
Yes. Would that fit into this? It does. Category? Did you say 3 or 1?
3/dash.
Oh.
It's that padded cloth armor.
Oh, with all the ringlets that like trap stuff. Well, guess what then, sir? You only take, as you feel pain and you start pulling these darts out, a lot of them, it's like the vest kind of thing. Ow, that hurts. That's going to leave a mark, right? But it didn't penetrate. And after you reassess, you didn't take 4 points of damage. You only took 1. Hence, the armor did its job.
I will quickly mumble something, tracing a small spiraling incantation in the air as I lay my hand upon Ren.
Okay.
I'll cast Cure Light Wounds.
You mumble something? You passing up a chance to do lip service to your goddess? That's interesting.
No, it's best not to shout incantations down the hallway. You never know what may be trying to kill the cleric first.
I see. Okay. I gotcha.
Yes, it's a tried and true. Right. Never announce your presence.
Gotcha. Roll your positive energy feed effect.
9 points.
Well, I'm not going to give you phantom points, but yeah, you're good to go. Got to your maximum 9. How you doing there, R3N? You took 9 points of damage. What's your, like, what do you got going on here?
I had 3 until Arif repaired the damage. You are very excellent at repairing organic damage, Arif.
I thought he did himself.
No, I healed Ren.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you healed yourself.
No, I just have 1 point. I plan on staying in the back.
Now you're like him. 8 out of 9, 8 points. Yeah. So he, you find your organic synthesized skin and everything closing up. Ejecting the darts, spitting them out, that kind of thing. Pull the stuck one out of your armor. And you both have 1 point of damage, but you have your, retain your maximum. No fortitude saves as yet. I'll let you know.
Alrighty.
Now, I can tell you this, just not to be a dick, but it is my job. If you do a heal check specifically seeking poison, you might be able to, know if you are, or get a head start on combating such a thing.
We'll save that for later. And now I'm just worried about bleeding out. And then I will, like I say, cast that spell and then back up.
Okay.
5, 10.
Vex, they're moving.
out of the room.
You told them not to move. Okay.
And I'm done.
Okay. Vex, what are you doing? You want to have another go? I can do this all day as long as we remain in rounds. You don't seem to find a cleric. He's disappeared from the room. How about, how about you, Ren?
Oh. Vex, would you be able to disable this device?
So I'll bend down and take a look at the plate I'm standing on and see if I can disable the trap.
Give me a roll.
I will remove myself from the area of the trap.
Mm-hmm. Disable device check.
Oh, 2 for a total of 7.
It looks like something that might actually spring back up. Now, you don't know what kind of ammo count is in that wall, if it will actually reset and spit again, but I think the key here, even if you'd like try to jam it with pitons, is it enough to wedge it, or should you just let it go? There's a couple ways you could go, and you might make it worse. So at the moment, don't think you can, or your attempt kind of fails. You're either trying to piton it down, or you're just trying to like ease off of it to see if it resets, and you're pretty sure your efforts have not, stopped the chaos as of yet.
Yeah, but they're out of the way.
That's true.
So I'll step off of the spot that I'm on blatantly. Because I'm behind the painting, nothing shot at me.
So you step towards the painting the way you came in, or down towards...
No, I step down towards it, the other side of the double doors, and I step there.
Okay. So this is great, guys. You see him, like, bend down, thorough search, all this stuff, confused, and then he kind of hopscotches to the next safe zone, and sets off another huge volley. It's very, like, to see it at point blank is one thing, but to see it at a distance is you just see more darts erupt crossing the hall, impaling nothing, but...
It seems that this Akintepi does not want people to explore his resting place.
Very much so, and then I'll jump back over to the other side, hitting the other plate again.
Okay. Again, more darts erupt. That's three times now.
Very much they do not want people to come here. I wonder how many darts there are in this thing. Stay there, and I'll start jumping back and forth.
Okay, that's an interesting... You're just, so,
it's like a mad game of DDR right
he's
now.
He's just back and forth and back and forth, and one to the other, and you guys are just watching, like, just all this, just, you know, like, just on and on and on it goes. You get to the count of 11, and suddenly on the 11th hop, as in successful, you know, fill it, like, there's just darts piling up in corners. Yeah, but on the 11th try, and nothing.
Oh, I'll stop.
Okay.
Look back.
Okay. Nothing.
And then gingerly hop back onto the other plate.
Okay. Check. Again, nothing. Looks like Akintepi has temporarily run out of ammo.
Okay, now is your chance. Come on.
And I'll motion for them to run across.
They're like, think about this. Floor to ceiling, all the way down, random places, but covering, you know what I mean? And then 10 times. It's like there's piles and piles of darts that have struck the opposite wall and fallen to the floor. And you guys have chipped. Oh, Arif, he has destroyed the beautiful boss relief of the scene by pelting it, like, you know, from both sides. Just criminal.
I'll be like, as he's hopping back and forth, I'm like, no.
So is it common in your culture to explore the old resting places of your people?
Well, sometimes. He's just kind of shaking his head. I'm sure there was an easier way through without destroying all of this. See if the door's open before we pile up, would you, sir?
I pick up one of the darts. What it's made out of?
What do you call it? Not wood, but like a hardened. I wouldn't say it's like iron or steel, but it's like base metals, and you know what I mean, like an actual dart. So. A cheap steel that's, you know, strong enough to penetrate, but not so much that, you know, you don't have, like, cold iron or gold flying at it, you know what I mean? And it looks like it's, like a mix, you know, like a cheap nickel or, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they didn't spend a lot of, they went for quantity over quality. So, Vex, the last thing I'm going to ask you tonight before we end the episode, would you like to search the other door for traps? And we'll see you next time.
yes, I would, and I will take 20 on this. I promise you that I will not make this mistake again. Every step will be 20. We are taking our time with this, gentleman. I'm sorry, I cannot have this again. It's embarrassing.
And we'll see you next time. Say goodnight, R3N.
Goodnight, R3N.
You're killing me. The artworks, the reliefs, they're priceless. Please, careful next time.